Imagine you go to school tomorrow, or you go to your work tomorrow, and you know those emergency things that you get on your phone? Start speaking like crazy? You know which ones I'm talking about? In our house, it just goes, you know, every room starts going crazy. And if you have Alexa, Alexa's topping, you know, shouts at the top of her voice, "Help, help, help!" But imagine this is the news you get tomorrow. Around 9:30, we see suspicious things happening in heaven, and you get it in Greek as well, so that just, you know, we're covering the Greek. And then, you know, it says, the news says, you know, suspicious things are happening in heaven. There's a white cloud that just keeps, it is unusual. The Weather Channel is going crazy because they don't understand it. It was not on their radars. And then some people are claiming that there's a person sitting on the clouds. The first thing that comes to your mind is Aladdin, but you know it's not Aladdin because that's a fake thing, goes on. And then before you know it, another emergency alert comes and it says, you know, please, you know, do not go outside. It could be an alien invasion. Because now the news is spreading more and more that there are people flying around with, apparently, with some are saying they have wings and some saying they have trumpets. And there's a lot of confusion. CNN is covering it and they're saying they're blaming the president. And Fox News is just saying, you know, we don't know what's happening. And then they're all coming up with theories. I shouldn't be political here, but you know. But some are trying to create politics and get votes out of this. You know, they're saying, you know, and there's, of course, the internet is going crazy. You try to create, you know, to look at Facebook. You've got a lot of pictures. But what you know that something very strange is happening. And then all of a sudden, you hear the trumpet sound. And then the earth starts shaking. You know that this is not man-made. The first thing that comes to many people's minds is just aliens are invading, right? Aliens are invading Earth. Now, some people will think, well, it's about time because the pyramids need some renovation, right? You believe that aliens build the pyramids, that's the first thing that's going to come to your mind. But you know, as a Christian, especially if you live next to a cemetery, you see everything is just shaking like crazy. And then before you know it, those cemeteries are acting very strangely. You've never seen this before. The caretaker of the cemetery, there are six of them, they're running away. Because the entire thing is shaking, and then all of a sudden those tombstones or whatever is just, you know, they're just as if somebody is just like popping them up, you know, they're flying up in the air. Now your phone stops working, and now some people are saying to one another, finally, it's happening. It is happening. Wow, it is happening. And you open the door and you start running out. The police officer is saying, go in, go in, go in. But then you're going out and you are saying, no, this is what we've been waiting for. He is back. I'm not talking about Arnold. He is back. And you're talking about, you're just paraphrasing or you are just repeating the words of the angel 2,000 years ago when Jesus was ascending up in heaven and the disciples were looking up and saying, what is happening? And the angels say, you know, he will come back. But now it's happening in your lifetime. You're at school, the first thing you're texting your mom, Mom, are you going to pick me up? You know, I think we're close. So there's a lot of confusion that's happening. No one really knows what's happening except the Christian. And I'm not talking people who just go to church or, you know, I was reading a study that there are more non-Christians who are baptized that sit on the pews than Christians who are non-baptized who sit on the pews. Did you know that? Not everyone, but people are going to come and say, well, I hope I will be okay because I was baptized as a kid. I remember, you know, I don't remember, but my parents told me I was baptized. Well, that's not an insurance policy. That's just not going to work. But there are two types of people. People who are utterly scared in this instance and people who are just going crazy rejoicing. Now the news is covering your story and saying, some people have gone insane. You know, they've just lost their brains. They're dancing on the streets. But they cannot really understand what's happening in the cemetery. Some stones have not moved, but some have really opened up. And now all of a sudden, you see that program, The Walking Dead? Now, this is nothing like that. It's just now you're seeing like dust is coming into flesh, and then all of a sudden rising up and taking, I mean, things you're seeing is just, you go like this, is this really happening? But the Christian is saying, yay! And before you know it, you're going up as well. Do you believe in what I'm saying? Can it happen? But that's what Scripture tells us it happens. Now, what I'm telling you is a figment of people's imaginations in the world, but this is real stuff. This is the real stuff. Now, the problem becomes is that how many of us go through the day thinking of the Lord's return? None of us. I mean, we've got so many things that come on our desk. I mean, the last thing we think is about the Lord's return. Some people are so busy. I mean, we make a lot of investments in life. You want to enjoy it at the retirement, but you're thinking, oh, what about my 403B? Lord, couldn't you wait? I remember there was a lady in one of the churches that I ministered not too long ago. She said, couldn't you do these things after I died? I said, no. No. Some people just don't want Jesus to come back because they've got plans. They've got plans for the future. I mean, you've worked very hard. I mean, there's that perspective. Some people are just saying, well, I don't know. Is God going to be okay with me? And I say, if you're asking that question now, it's too late. And it is a scary time. It will be a very scary time for some. And it will be an utter joy for some. But this is why we exist, so that more people have joy on that day when it happens. And some people say, well, when is it going to happen? No clue. Some people came up with theories that it's going to happen on this day at this time. No one knows. It's going to be like, you know when the thief is going to visit your house? No. I mean, there are some thieves, they will call you and say, look, between the hours of 2 to 4, are you at home? And you'll say, well, you know why? Well, I'm just trying to invite myself in. Where do you keep the jewelry? Right? Now, they're not going to do that. They're going to make sure you're not at home, and they're going to go in, and they're going to steal. That's how Scripture says it. It's going to happen like that. Now, the thing is, are you ready for it? Not the thief coming to your home, but when it happens. Now, when, you know, I put the sermon title, Be Patient and Relax. Some people are not going to be able to relax. Now, because they don't have the peace of God in their hearts. Now, for a lot of people, God is a figment of their imagination. If you go to college today, they'll make fun of you if you say that you believe in God. They really will make fun of you. They will say anything and everything to tell you that God does not exist. But in reality, what they are going to tell you and what they are telling today to many of the kids who are going to college is that start thinking the way I want you to think. Because that's how we change a society to worse. But you know, Christianity came and gave people the freedom of thinking. Imagine, you know, God even loving people who hate him. Now that takes guts. But that's God. But today, if you go to college, they're going to say, you know, and to schools, God does not exist. Well, you still believe in these things? I always say, yeah, man, more than ever. Why? Because I see people like you and others, what they're doing to one another. I believe in the existence of God more than ever. Now, how do you know God? God can be to you nothing or something great. Oh, I've shared this story on via email yesterday. Because a boy asks his father, Dad, he says, what is the size of God? Then the father, I should look there, this is too small for me. Then the father looked up at the sky and saw a plane and asked his son, what is the size of this plane, son? The boy replied, it's very small. I can hardly see it. And the father took him to the airport, and as they approached the plane, he asked, now, my son, how big is this plane? The boy replied, wow, Dad, it's huge. And the father told him, God's size depends on how close or far you are to him. Yeah.
The closer you are to him, the greater and greater he will be in your life. That is the truth, isn't it? Your intimacy will show you the greatness of God. Now, how big is your God, seriously? And that's the question at the end of the day that is going to determine if you are going to be scared to death at the return of Christ or rejoicing at the time of his return. How you're going to react depends on how much you know God. And I'm not talking the God of religion here. And the God of religion is all about do's and don'ts and say this prayer and say that prayer. Some people make God into something that absolutely he is not, and they brought a distance between humanity and God and they put religion right there. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about how do you know God? And people ask me, well, how can I know God? I say, well, start reading his word. Start reading his word. Well, it's too difficult to read. Come to church and listen to Pastor Bears. Don't go to many churches. I'm not just saying this. Seriously, some churches will make you lose your faith. And I'm talking about churches not too far from here. If you have any faith to lose, because true faith is never lost. If people say, you know, don't be there, you're going to lose your faith. I say, if I lose my faith, that was no faith. But I would not also go and play with fire that I'm not supposed to play, just because I believe in God. Now, today's scripture is taken from James. Now, James was the brother of Jesus. Some people say Jesus never had brothers. Well, they're wrong. James was half the brother of Jesus. He never believed in his brother. Have you ever had brothers and sisters? You're just like they're a pain in the neck. You know, they claim to be great, and then you say, yeah, you're great. I don't want to do anything with you. But then you realize, you know, James was one of those guys, and with his brothers, they never believed in Jesus. Jesus was saying, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. He was getting into trouble with the religious leaders. The religious leaders hated Jesus. And yet you have James, who was, you know, who went to the synagogue. He was okay, but then they were talking, you know, about his brother. I mean, imagine growing up in a home where, you know, Mama Mary will always be nice to Jesus because Jesus is claiming to be her Lord. Now, here James and here saying, how dare he? You know, there's a similar story between Joseph and his brothers, right? I mean, Joseph did not, I mean, his brothers spoiled him to death. But Joseph, you know, eventually they sold him. His brothers sold him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to get rid of him. But then God eventually had a purpose for Joseph. But here in this story, James grew up in a home. He never believed in Jesus to be the Savior until he died and rose again. And then eventually James is going to become the head of the church in Jerusalem. Eventually he's going to write an epistle. And he's going to write about his half-brother. And he is going to say the following. You adulterers. Boy. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. What do you think the scripture mean when they say that the Spirit God has placed within us is filled with envy? But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. You know, it's interesting, he addresses them as adulterers. Usually when we think about adultery, it's in a marriage. But you know, if our hearts are engaged with God, and yet our hearts is involved with the world that he hates, and I'm not talking about this world that we live in, is the evil that's in the world. If we follow the pride of the world, we want to become like the world, God detests that. God does not like evil. And yet so many are so attached to this world, and when they come to church and they say, well, God is not doing great things in my life. And the first question we must ask is, how close are you to God today? You know, some people would love to be here and here. You know, I want to be part of the world. Yeah, be part of the world. But you cannot be part of God as well. But this is how it works. Be part of God, and God puts you in the world. So shine for Christ in the world. We need heroes in the world. You know what's missing is heroes. Hero fathers, hero husbands, hero mothers, hero children.
They're all bundled up in one today, and they want to, they tell you, you want to be accepted, you follow the pattern of this world. Now we need to exit from that mold as Christians and bring a whole new mold to the world. That's what Christ did. But you know what? It's not easy. It's not easy because, you know, you are going against the current of that river. Salmon swims against the current of the river. And they make it through perseverance. Imagine if salmon stopped swimming against the current. Bears will die of hunger. And I'm telling you, if Christians stop swimming against the current, the world will be a much poorer place where morality will no longer exist. And there are no boundaries. At the end of the day, you could marry your dog. As long as it's you're happy. Because where do we create boundaries? I mean, I have nothing against dogs. Don't go and think about your dog now. Google it. People are marrying themselves. I've preached on this. You know, people are marrying themselves. They say, and somebody, there was a minister actually saying, well, I think that's something we need to be open-minded. I said, I know. I said, my struggle is, you know, who's going to do their divorce? How would that work? You're marrying yourself, right? And if you've got problems with yourself, who does the counseling? Do you have to sit on two different chairs? Like, you sit here and say, hey, I hate him. Well, you know, how do you do that? But they don't have answers to that. But what they have is that as long as it makes you happy. But when you drive yourself away from the Word of God and from the standards of God, there are no standards. So killing is justified. And I'm afraid to say maybe at any time. Do you know where I'm going with this? And it's fascinating. I don't care about politics, but I do care about the dignity of life. When people are talking about killing innocent children, and then you've got people standing and clapping for it. I've got issues about that as a human being. When we forget that God is the one who creates life, and the reason people are able to do that is that they've forgotten the Word of God. And that's what I struggle with. And the more society drives itself away from God in the name of pride and human achievements, is that we have nothing to stand on. But the world has always been like this. Always. Nothing has changed because human nature has not changed. So the first lesson that James is giving us is that live a life that is a life of humility. You know, let others think that you're weak. There's power in that. Did you know that? Let others think that you're nothing. I'm not going saying, you know, don't buy a t-shirt now and say, I'm nothing, you know, I'm nothing. You're making yourself into something now. But seriously, don't think of what others are thinking of you. And so many of us crave the attention of others. What others are thinking of me? Maybe there's a sign of also maturity in life as you're walking through life, you grow and you understand that what is the most important thing in life is what God thinks of me. I'm not perfect. Boy, He still accepts me. He still loves me. And He still wants to use me. That's more than what your parents will allow you to do. And this is at any age, up to 105. There's always grace for those who are 106. Then he goes into chapter 5, and this is what I like, what he writes. He says, dear brothers and sisters, and he's writing it to the church. He says, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and in the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. I was laughing when I read this, because my son and I, we created a garden last year. Well, it works. It worked until the deer came in. And then squirrels came in and the rabbit came, well, whatever, but we've created our boundaries now. Nothing can come in. We can't even go in. But what's fascinating is that we planted things in April. It's way too early. But within a week, we were just, both of us, impatiently waiting. When is this coming about? I mean, we went with the seeds, not even the plants, with the seeds. And we were like impatient. We're going every day. And we even believed in the old woman's tale, like you speak to the plant, it grows faster. You know, we even did that. I was even saying little prayers here and there, just so that I don't look bad in front of my son. But nothing grew for months, and until we saw something come up. It was the weeds, nothing had to do with the plants. But you know, it takes patience, and when you don't have it, at the end, a pound of tomato cost us $1,000 from that garden. And my brother says, why did you do it? I said, I thought it would be fine. We were protecting the place from the enemy, which is the deers and all that, and we've had to spend this money and that money, but eventually we got 6 tomatoes. And it was close to $1,000 a pound of tomato. But we forgot in that you needed patience. And here, when I was reading the scripture, I was laughing my head off. I said, it is in the scripture. You need, you know, the farmer plants, and they've got a pattern, and they have to wait for the rain to come. But we live in a society that patience is just, have you ever been to Disneyland? You need patience. You pay, well, what is it, $130 now? And you're lucky if you get on 8 rides, because you have to wait an hour on each ride. And then each ride, you know, it lasts for less than a minute. Now, what people have come up with for people who are impatient, if you pay more, you don't have to stand on lines. And people are just going crazy. Can I get that ticket? Now, there are lines on that. Now, everybody is going to that, you know. But we are impatient. We're absolutely impatient. Have you seen, like, the whole microwave is a great idea of, I want my food and I want it now. 2 minutes? Oh, the other thing is just the email. You know, like if you're on the phone when an insurance company or whatever it is, they say, well, we send you an email. You wait for 10 seconds. 10 seconds! I didn't get it, I didn't get it, I didn't get it, I didn't get it. And you get crazy. And the guy is in India. Sir, we send it to you. I didn't get it. I'm sending it to you again. And he sends it. And then after 20 seconds, you're going, I got it. And you're angry at this stage. It took 20 seconds. My favorite is when people, and this is like it happens to everybody, my computer is running slow today, right? Anybody you talk to, they're going to check information. My computer is running today. I don't know what's wrong with it. You almost can tell them before even they say it to you. You're becoming very impatient at this stage because you want services and you want them now. Look, I'm guilty of this. I lose my patience a lot of the times when that email takes more than 10 seconds or 20 seconds. Why? Because as a society, society is making us to believe in certain way and demand certain things within a certain time frame. And God says, boy, you just need time with me. That's why it's hard to pray. You know, you go like, your mind is going to 3 million places. Like, in the morning, I want to pray, but Lord, I have this to do. You're not able to pray because we want to deliver. And at the end of the day, God wants us to deliver our time to Him and sit and do nothing, even not a word of prayer. That is prayer. Because we've learned not to be patient anymore. Remember, there was a time, 24 years ago, I used to write a letter a day to my wife. Aww. And she used to write me a letter a day. And I have all the letters. Somewhere. I think I used some of them for insulation, but I have them. No, I have them. But you know what he did? You had to go and buy a piece of paper. You had to write. And then you had to close the thing and put it in an envelope, put a stamp. And then go to the post office. And then it took 3, 4, 5 days. I couldn't afford first class. I had to put a second class. Now, in Britain, there's a second class stamp. I always felt I was a second class, so hey, second class, it's okay. Only in emergencies you put a first class. And the difference was like a few cents. What fascinates me today is that when I'm waiting for an email 10 seconds, I'm, did you text? No. Why? But we have changed, haven't we? Society has changed us. And do you understand what the world, what God is saying? Do not be part of this world. Not that we cannot help, but be part of this world. But let's not think like the world does. Because it's not going to get us anywhere. Now I have to remind myself about these things. When the person starts telling me that they their computer is going slow today, I go like this. I start, here is another one, Bears. Do you have to laugh? Oh, I'm so sorry. This is reality. And here, it says, dear brothers, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Are we patient with the Lord's return? I think we're too patient. We don't even think about it. But the return is going to happen. Whether you and I like it or agree or disagree, it will happen. The question is, are we ready? And do we seek it with all our hearts? Look, Mom, when I was very young, when I was 14, and this is where I started, you know, with this whole faith thing and walking with God, and but I really wanted a car. That was my biggest dream, you know. I couldn't be patient. My uncle used to say, you know, when you're 18, I'll buy you a car. No, I don't want it now. You know, there's just certain things go with age, and it's okay. And there were times, like in my early 20s, I did not want Jesus to come back. I really did not. Because I wanted to do this, I wanted to do that. I had a whole list to accomplish. There's nothing wrong with that. There's really nothing wrong, because that's what, you know, and God loves dreamers like that. But when you come, when you hit certain age, and scripturally, there needs to be certain maturity as well in the life of the believer. You become very impatient to a point where you say, Lord, coronavirus, hatred, Syria, Afghanistan, soldiers, divorce, children, drugs, this, I mean, the list goes on. Can't you just come back? I'm okay to forget about 401k, 402b, six, you know, blackberries, blueberries. I'm ready to forget the iPhone. Come. Let's go through this. That's a hard prayer to pray for many, because we hope that the world will become a better place. We hope that those who preach on environment, that they want a better life, a better place for their children, will fly second class and not take private jets each time they go to a place. There's a lot of hypocrisy in the world, but no one wants to report on it. We pray and say that those who say, you know, we need to help the poor, starting from the Pope, that they will start selling the golden chalices and actually really help the poor so that they have followers and say, if the Pope did it, I want to do it. I want to imitate that life. We want changes like this. But until we become the example, it's hard for others to follow. So who are you being an example to today? And it doesn't matter your age. You could be a 10-year-old and shine for Christ and what he stands for amongst your friends. And that might be a lonely place for you to be, but there are people who are watching and they are determining what type of life they should live. See, patience, I believe, is the supernatural fruit of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you with my personality, you know, I've got a few types in me. They all work at the same time. They create confusion and they create impatience. But I do believe patience comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it. See, some people say, I'm tough. I'm like, well, really? Oh, I've got a thick skin. Really? Because your skin and my skin are the same. I think you've got a thick soul, you might say. Or a thick heart, or a hardened heart. But patience is the supernatural fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows you to be patient, especially with people who just drives you nuts. Are you? I've got a few. You know, I was noticing years ago, I used to chop wood much faster than I do now. Do you know why? I had more people that used to drive me nuts, so I had more energy just to go over the whole thing. Now you just like to get tired after an hour. It's biblical. God's patience isn't without limit, though. Now there's going to come a time, and we see throughout history, where God draws the line. And when he draws the line, you remember the story of Noah? Some people say, well, that's a mythical story. I say, you're living in a mythical world. And the reason they say that, because they just don't want to believe in this story. It just hits home. God promised Noah, there's judgment coming. 120 years, God was patient. Everybody made fun of Noah and his big ark. He took it very seriously until a point where God sent Noah to the ark. And for 7 days, the doors will not be closed. The rain did not come. People made fun of Noah. And then the Lord shut the doors. And the rain came. And people wanted to get into the boat. God's patience came to an end. God's grace will come to an end. Now, how good do you have to be to follow Christ? You cannot make it with your own goodness at all. You cannot be a good boy or a good girl for God to accept you. You just need Jesus. That's the only thing you need, and he will change your life. Some people say, well, you cannot refer just he or you have to include she. No, he will change your life. And he will change it one step at a time and the things that you need. So, as we conclude, be patient. Especially with people who just reject what you're saying all the time. God has not given up on them yet. So don't give up on them. Yet. With God, all things are possible. But try to relax and have fun in the midst of all this. You know, Jesus is coming back. Maranatha. Isn't that stands for Jesus? And that was the Greek word, right? Maranatha. I know more Greek than you. A few words. That's what the Christians included at every prayer. You know, when they finished the prayer, they said, Maranatha. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And I think we need to lead our lives in such a way, knowing that he is coming. Whether we are ready or not. And what matters at the end of the day, on that day, if you belong to him or not. That's the only thing that's going to count. It's not how many times you've done wonderful work on March 21st as we go and feed the poor. Now, if you can't, we're going to make you feel guilty. It's okay. It's part of my job to make you feel guilty. God's still going to love you if you can. But sometimes we lose out on great opportunities of growth because somebody's life can touch us in an amazing way. In places that we choose not to be are the places that God wants us to be. And we do all this for his glory. Amen.